the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. We've got a lot going on. And a lot happening during the next 3 hours of common sense conservative conversation. Harry, get up. We'll tell you more about that in just a moment. Wow. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling into the program today. That number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We have an actual American citizen who speaks English answering our phone. So I know that's very unusual these days. So anyway, give us a call once we get the conversation rolling. So look, we have been following this weird story out of Tucson, Arizona. And initially, we had gotten some messages about this, and we were doing our due diligence. Again, we just don't blurt stuff out here. We want to make sure that things are being investigated and things are as they have been told to us. And that's just something that's very important here on this program. So last week, President Trump in Tucson for a rally, and the president had two sets of bleachers on the stage with him. And one was on the far right side, the other the far left side of this stage, this very large stage. And so the president came in on the right side of the stage and greeted a lot of the supporters. There were about 20 supporters in this little bleacher stand thing. So the president did the rally. The president leaves. And then all of a sudden, the 20 people who were on the right side bleachers all began to suffer some sort of a medical emergency. Now, this is the reporting of the local NBC television affiliate. They are on the story. I want you to listen to this news report.
Yeah, well, Monica, this is where thousands of people came out to hear former President Donald Trump speak last week. There was a group of 48 people allowed to sit on stage behind Trump throughout the event. They were split into two groups on each side of the stage. One side seemed to walk away without any issues, but multiple people seated near each other on the other side tell me that they had to go to the emergency room after they left the event. Here tonight, for the first time, the Trump campaign is confirming that they're investigating this situation.
No taxes on Social Security benefits for our seniors.
More than 2,000 people filled up the Tucson Music Hall Thursday to hear Donald Trump's first speech in Tucson this campaign as Election Day nears. Some of his biggest supporters were allowed to sit behind him on stage, supporters like Myra Rodriguez, a former director of Planned Parenthood with a notable shift to being pro-life. In 2016, she sat behind presidential candidate Hillary Clinton on stage at an event. Now she supports Donald Trump. She enjoyed the rally, but once she left, everything changed.
As soon as we left and I stepped outside, I started feeling like my eyes were burning.
At first, she thought it might be allergies. She lives near Phoenix. By the time she got home, it was so bad she decided to go to the emergency room.
The emergency room staff keeps saying, you know, from the triage nurse to the PA, and are you sure you don't get spray anything? Your symptoms look like you were spray something.
The News 4 Tucson investigators spoke to her the morning after the rally, Friday last week. That morning, she was nearly blind.
I can't see anything. When I try to open my eyes, it's like a white cloth out covered. It hurts. It hurts a lot to open my eyes. I mean, I have this cold cloth that I put on and I take off all the time. But this is horrible.
She says the doctors weren't able to determine what exactly caused it. Her initial thought of allergies went out the window when she heard from several others seated next to her at the rally that also ended up seeking medical attention with the same symptoms.
Kept getting worse and worse. My eyes started watering a lot. My nose started running. Then I started feeling my face get really flushed. And then my neck felt like it was on fire. And it just progressed from there.
This Tucson woman, who doesn't want to be identified, was seated in the same area behind Trump with her brother. Both walked away with eye injuries and sought medical attention.
I was all focused on my eyes. I mean, my eyes were red like hell. You know what I mean? It's like it just like unbearable. I couldn't handle it.
Whatever caused it seems to be isolated to the group seated on stage right. Former Congressional District 6 candidate Kathleen Wynne was seated on the opposite side of the stage and says she and everyone she knows seated near her walked away without any issues.
We hope that there's no nefarious actors in this and that this is not a strategic hit for those that are supporting Donald Trump.
Myra reported her injuries to the Trump campaign and says she was told it was being investigated. Myra feels it's crucial for people to be made aware of what happened and what could have caused her injuries.
Obviously, what I would like is an investigation, right? That whoever, that this does not get away with it.
All right. There you go. That is the reporting of the local NBC News affiliate there in Tucson. So a couple of things here. The Trump campaign is aware. They're looking into it. A Secret Service says there were no known threats, but I wouldn't believe those yahoos. They let a guy lay in the bushes for almost 16 hours getting ready to take a shot at Donald Trump on the golf course down in West Palm Beach, Florida. So I wouldn't put any trust into what the Secret Service says. But my question is very simple here, folks. Do you believe that somebody is out there targeting Trump supporters? This is beyond crazy here that 20 people, I think just about everybody on that set of bleachers, suffered some sort of a medical emergency with their eyes. They all suffered the exact same symptoms. As a matter of fact, one of the ER doctors said it was as if somebody had sprayed them with something. But whatever it was, there was a delayed reaction. So all of this happened as they were all leaving. Others are wondering, was there something there that went off, some sort of a device, and these people were caught up in the mist? Again, this was the side where Donald Trump came in and out of. So he entered and exited in front of that bleacher stand. And so some are wondering, was this a possible third attempted attack or an assassination attempt on Donald Trump? We do not know. The Secret Service doesn't seem to be terribly worried about it, but and the campaign is trying to downplay this, and I understand why the campaign is doing that, because they don't want people to stay home. You know, they want people to come out to these rallies. They want people to know that they're going to be safe. My concern is this. It just seems to me there may be people out there who are intending to do harm to Trump supporters. And it's important for all of us to be very diligent here, folks. Very diligent. So anyway, we're going to, you know, hopefully the police are going to be involved here. And it just seems to me this should also be a national news story, right? You've got 20 people attending a Trump rally. They all come down with the exact same symptoms and illnesses. They're being treated in emergency rooms. This is all being very well documented, so it's not like people are making all of this up. So I'm curious, what do you think's going on here, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe that Trump supporters are, in fact, being targeted here in America? So we're going to be taking your calls on this today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I will say this, last night's rally in Long Island, wow, what an insane group of people. And it seemed to go off without a hitch. Thousands and thousands of people standing room only in the Coliseum there in Nassau County, and thousands more outside watching the rally on big screens. And President Trump says that he's going to be taking New York. He says that the Republicans are going to win New York. And I will say this, when you go back to the gubernatorial race, Lee Zeldin came very, very close to upsetting the Democrats for that gubernatorial race. So anything is possible here, folks. And I am telling you, people are rising up and people are fired up about what's happening in this country. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to go right to your phone calls. Coming up next, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25 and the brand-new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines here. David in Memphis, Tennessee, starting out our day on KWAM. And David, I understand you've got a theory about what happened in Tucson.
Well, you know, I don't think anybody right now knows exactly what's going on. But I think I remember when we had United States political attaches and stuff and meetings in China. And they used ultrasound. They used a lot of different things that created long-term headaches. There's direct energy weapons that do invisible type thing. And, of course, you know, I think Putin, every time Putin has a political person that runs against him or causes him trouble, they somehow chemically or some way sort of get rid of him. So I'm just saying that this may not just be toward the people. This might be something also that if they were close to Trump, that this, you know, if they can't take him out with a bullet or something like that, then they may also use invisible type means to cause him where he wouldn't be able to function.
I remember, David, do you remember the attacks on the U.S. embassy in Cuba, in Havana? And they were sonar attacks. And a lot of the embassy staff, or is the consulate staff, they were dealing with all sorts of things like headaches, ears bleeding, all that kind of stuff. So you're thinking it might be something along those lines.
Well, I don't know exactly what it is, but I think the key thing is we can't assume, one, that it's just to his crowd. I think, you know, we have to, you know, I think Trump has to be careful, and of course people too, but the Trump has to be careful and make sure that they're also thinking about the other ways that people can be taken out, that maybe whether it's invisible means, whether it's chemical or, you know, those type things.
Could be. At my first glance, I thought it was maybe somebody had some pepper spray, but those kinds of symptoms are immediate. I mean, you immediately start coughing, and there wasn't any coughing here. Whatever it was just impacted people's eyes. And, you know, you had all 20 people on that side of the bleachers, and it happened as they were in the process of leaving the arena.
Okay.
Well, very strange.
Again, I just want to make sure that Trump is staying safe. Not only that, but hopefully they'll figure out exactly what was causing the problem. Maybe a doctor will call in or something and be able to tell us more about what could cause that kind of thing.
But, yeah, I'm with you, David. It's a head scratcher. And again, you're right. This is all about keeping the president safe, and it's about keeping, you know, the Trump supporters safe as well. And I understand why, you know, the Trump campaign's not too keen on getting this story national attention, because they want people to fill up those stadiums and arenas. At the same time, we've got to make sure that everybody is safe. But it's a head scratcher. Whatever it was isolated, and it happened to a group of people on those bleachers. David, thank you for that, and thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Mary in North Carolina. Hi, Mary. What do you think it is?
I think it could be chemical warfare. We are dealing with very strong spiritual warfare against our president. We also have, I think that the establishment, the three-letter agencies, are not to be trusted. And I think this last assassination could be an inside job. I think there's a mole. There's a mole somewhere. And we're praying. I just left church. We're praying that you know, it comes to light. But we all have to pray, put the armor of God on, because, you know, I'm a Catholic, and the third secret of Fatima, the last battle is the family and the transgender issue. And I believe that's where we are. And they don't want this president elected. They've got too many billions of dollars to lose. And they hate us with a passion. I almost got into a fight the other day because I won't stay quiet anymore. I don't care. I don't care. I won't stay quiet. Somebody said that they should have killed him or at least he wished that they would have shot at his legs so he's in a wheelchair and never plays golf again. I wanted to go. Oh, my God. If I had the health, I would have jumped him and wouldn't have stopped hitting him until he was bleeding. I got so angry at him. I don't know who he was, but that's what he was saying. And I said to him, it's disgusting. It's disgraceful that you consider yourself an American. I wasn't born here. I was born in Cuba. And I'm more of an American than you are, you piece of crap.
Wow. Good for you, Mary. Get this aggression out on the radio, Mary. I don't want you. Jeez, Lou. That guy's lucky. He didn't realize who he was tussling with, did he?
He had no idea. The manager came, the waitresses came, and, you know, he's had too much to drink. And I said, well, I don't care what his problem is, but he
good for you.
It was just awful.
Mary, I like your spunk. You've got spunk, Mary, and I like it. And we need more people thinking like you, Mary. We really do. God bless you, and thank you for that call. And look, I like her spirit. You know what? I'm tired of people saying, well, I got to take the bumper sticker off. No, don't take your bumper sticker off. Don't take out your yard sign. As a matter of fact, in my town, I live in the Memphis suburbs, and we've got somebody running around, and they're yanking up the Trump signs in the front yards, and somebody actually posted pictures of all of this, the vandalism, on their social media page. And I'm catching a holy you-know-what. You want to know why? Because here's what I suggested the homeowner needed to do. They needed to contact an electrician. And they needed to figure out a way to electrify those signs. So the next time one of those thugs decides they're going to vandalize the Trump sign, boom, zap. It's going to be like, I don't know, a Hezbollah terrorist answering a pager. That's what we need to start doing. And again, I'm sick of this. It's ridiculous. All I can tell you here, folks, is that there are very bad people out there. You've had the Democrats and their party For years, they've been demonizing all of the conservatives. They've been calling you irredeemable, dregs of society, threats to democracy. The list goes on and on and on. And I am telling you right now, I think most people are sick and tired of it. And most people are now willing to stand up and fight back. And that's what we need in this country. We need people that are willing to stand up to the bullies. And when you do that, the bullies are going to back down. Because ultimately, we're dealing with a bunch of pronoun-confused soy boys. And then you got the purple-haired Subaru drivers. Maybe you have to worry about them. But I'm telling you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the bullies will back down when they're confronted. But they don't think that you're going to be able to do that. We are a peaceful people, but we will not be tread upon. All right, coming up, we've got a crazy story out of Oregon, and we're going to be talking to one of our Oregon listeners about this. I know you're going to be shocked, but somehow they're registering illegals to vote in Oregon. I kid you not. All right, new polling data coming out as well, plus your calls, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars?
Introducing ShareRite, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRite, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRite, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRite ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRite, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRite is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
All right, coming up tomorrow, we're going to have a great show, Open Line Friday, and then this weekend heading off to California for the big spiritual leadership conference. I've been told that the numbers are just off the charts. And folks, if there is still plenty of time to register, slconference.com. That's slconference.com. This is literally my favorite conference I do for the entire year. And it is such a refreshing thing. And the scenery, by the way, is just beautiful. Up in the high desert of Southern California, you're just going to love it. But again, slconference.com. You can still get tickets if you want to attend. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Janice in Georgia. Hi, Janice. What is on your mind today?
Hi, John. It's nice to talk with you. I'm in Gainesville, and I am a Trump supporter. I'm a Christian. I'm peace-loving. But these folks that are behind trying to hurt Donald Trump, they don't know it, but they are about to unleash a sleeping giant. And that's in my heart. I know it's not going to be what they think. But I agree with you 100%, and that's all I wanted to tell you. Thank you.
Janice, you know what we ought to do? We ought to get some T-shirts made up, Grannies for Trump. What do you think about that, Janice?
I think it'd be wonderful.
All right, I'm going to have my people work on that. I love it. We got to do what we can do to stand together. Janice, I like your spunk as well. I'm telling you, folks, the grannies of the Todd Stern Show listening audience, If all of us just had the same ferocity that they had, man, we would be crushing it right now. I'm just telling you. All right. Let's go to Thomas in North Carolina. Hey, Thomas, what's going on?
Hey, I've been thinking, looks to me like that if you think about all the money and power that the Democrats would lose if Trump goes into office, then I can't believe they wouldn't try to assassinate him or try to hurt the people that back him or Trump, either one. I mean, because it looks to me like they'd be willing to do anything to keep him going back in office. And I think that's about what they're trying to do.
Thomas, there's a very good chance we could actually go to war with Russia to keep Trump out of the White House. I think that's how serious these people are. They feel like they are on some sort of a crusade, but it's really not a crusade. It's a jihad. And if it means mushroom clouds in American cities to stop Trump, I would not put it past them, sir. Not one bit.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. We're dealing with some very dangerous and unhinged people. And this all goes back to an issue and a story that we covered a lot, a couple of years ago, when we pointed out that Barack Obama purchased a mansion in Washington, D.C. Thomas, he's the only American president never to leave Washington after his presidency. That tells me this guy is pulling all the strings. He's calling all the shots right now when it comes to the Democrats on Capitol Hill as well as in the White House. Thomas, thank you for that. Thank you for that call. All right. I want to bring this story to you out of Oregon. And I know you're going to be shocked by this, just shocked. Here's the headline. Oregon reveals that hundreds of non-citizens were mistakenly registered to vote since 2021. More than 300 non-citizens, that would be illegals, in Oregon applied for and received driver's licenses. Officials said it was a data entry issue. They're saying it was just a simple little mistake. Oopsie. Oopsie. It is illegal for a non-citizen to cast a ballot in a federal election. You know, my question is how many elections? And that, by the way, if the number is 300, it's probably two or three times that number. It's probably a lot worse than we thought. And that brings me to our next caller, Bill, radio station KYKN in Oregon. And, Bill, I understand you've got an interesting story. What's going on?
Well, I love to sit. I'm military, and I love to sit and watch people. Well, there's a bus comes in once a week at this little spot in the road. And yesterday, I was down there watching people, and this bus pulls in. And these Hispanic people or whatever jumps off the buses, and boy, they took off just like flies on a hot tin roof. And I sat there and I watched them, and the bus was out of California. And so anyway, they finally all got off the ones that were here in Oregon, and the bus took off. So I kind of watched them, and they took off, and they hit the freeway and went north. So we have a little town called Woodburn. We call it the second Tijuana because you can go up there and you can almost get anything you want. But we're supposed to be a sanctioned state, but I hope Trump kicks Fannie and cleans the state up.
So you're seeing illegals or migrants being dropped off in Oregon. That's what you're saying, Bill?
About every day there's a bus that comes in.
Every day? Is that in Salem itself or another town?
Yes.
Salem. Wow. All right. Wow. This is fascinating. Bill, do we know where these people are going, where they're being housed, who's taking care of them?
No, but I'll tell you what I did. I finally a gutsy little codger. I pulled up. There was four of them standing on the street corner. And they were looking at some papers. And I walked up and I says, hey, you guys lost? Are you new in town? No comprende. I thought, if you're no comprende, what do you know what I'm saying? I says, well, you guys must be lost. So I'll call somebody to give you some help. They took off.
Wow. Wow. Well, look, I know that our team at KYKN is listening to this conversation right now, Bill, and I suspect they're going to be all over this story. And again, this is happening, I guarantee you, this is happening in just about every city in America, every city in America. And some people may say, well, what's the big deal? If you've got, for example, in the Sylacauga, Alabama, now they're saying, well, it's only 60 or 70 or 80 migrants that were dropped off. It doesn't matter if it was one or two. We have to take care of those people as American taxpayers, and that's not right, because every dollar going to help an illegal or every dollar going to educate an illegal is a dollar that's not being used to take care of an American citizen. And I got a big problem with that. I have no problem with charity and helping others, but we've got to take care of our own first. And if that makes me a bad person, so be it. I will own that, ladies and gentlemen. But I was just raised to know that you got to take care of your own first, and then you can take care of others. Bill, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, all you North Carolina people, I don't want to alarm you, but there's some weird stuff going down in your gubernatorial race. And we've had Mark Robinson on the show a lot. This is from the Carolina Journal. And it's, you know how it is with these news publications. But this is the story, and I can tell you that conservatives are concerned about this as well. That's why I'm sharing this with you. This is the reporting of the Carolina Journal today. North Carolina Republicans are bracing as word spreads about a damning news story looming regarding Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. Sources with direct knowledge have spoken with Carolina Journal on the condition of anonymity and said that Robinson is under pressure from staff and members of the Trump campaign to withdraw from the governor's race due to the nature of the story. And what is the nature of the story? Well, they say it involves activity on adult websites in the 2000s. Jeez, Lou. According to sources, Robinson has resisted withdrawing and privately denies the story. Thursday evening is the state deadline to withdraw from the race. The deadline to remove Robinson's name from the ballot has already passed. There are just 4 weeks to go until early voting, and absentee ballots are due to go in the mail Friday. According to the sources, the campaign of Attorney General Josh Stein, Robinson's opponent in the race, leaked the story to CNN and local Raleigh news outlet WRAL, and it is expected to hit airwaves sometime today. And we're going to keep you updated on this, but you North Carolina folks, this is a very important story. North Carolina is an important state for Donald Trump. And it is a battleground state. Should Robinson decide to withdraw from the race, something that Carolina Journal sources say he is opposed to at the moment, the North Carolina Republican Party Executive Committee would need to choose a replacement candidate for November. So that's where we are right now in North Carolina. This is a very concerning story, and I can tell you that the conservatives I've spoken to in North Carolina have concerns. So we'll open it up to our North Carolina listeners. If you guys are concerned about your governor, about the governor's race, I can tell you this, the polling has not been good at all for Mark Robinson, and the fundraising has not been good either. And there has just been a lot of contention within the Republican Party there in North Carolina over his winning the primaries. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to North Carolina. BJ is listening to us on WSIC. BJ, what do you make of Mark Robinson here?
Hey, I'm here in North Carolina. Let me tell you something. I'm a diehard Republican. He's a phony, and he's not getting my vote. I tell you, I knew this guy. He came on here. We got local commercials about him on the commercials with his wife talking about how they had an abortion 25 years ago, and then he's calling women sluts and that they can't keep their skirts down and this and that when he was doing it 20 years ago. He's a phony. I hate to say it. I call it like I see it. And this guy, I just never trusted him from the beginning, and I'm a diehard Republican, but he can't get my vote, Todd. Am I wrong for this?
BJ, let me ask you a question. And again, I know the story, and I don't know the timeline, though, but my understanding is that he was not a Christian man at the time when all of this went down. And he became a Christian and changed his views and his ways on these issues, allegedly. I mean, this is the story that's out there. I've met him. I have been, you know, we have spoken at the same events over the past couple of years, and he and his wife have always been very kind to me. I haven't seen nothing that would, you know, make me believe otherwise, but clearly you live in North Carolina. Are you hearing that from others in your circle?
Certainly, yes. And so what, you know, the whole fact that he comes on the commercial and starts crying, you know, he knows the camera's in front of him, and he comes on there and, you know, starts crying and says he's sorry and this and that. But a month earlier, you know, they had commercials out about him calling women all these names, and he's done the same. He's a phony. He is, you know, the whole commercial where he came on crying, talking about this and that with abortion, is just, it's not he knows those cameras were there, and he just broke down and did it for a show, and he's a phony. He's a fake, and I call it like I see it.
All right. Well, BJ, I'm sure others are going to want to call in, and I don't know. I just don't know. I can tell you that there have been concerns in the conservative world in North Carolina about these reports that keep coming out. And a lot of it is just, and you know how it is with a lot of these press reports. Stuff turns out not to be true. Things are blown out of proportion or whatever. But I've got to get more information on this before I can say one way or the other. But I do have concerns. And BJ, I respect you calling in and sharing your thoughts here. Thank you for calling. 901-260-5926. Let's go to North Carolina again. Luke wants to weigh in. All right, Luke, what you got for us?
How's it going? I was just calling. I've been a big supporter of Mark Rawson. I haven't heard anything negative about him. I didn't really understand what you exactly were saying. The radio was kind of cutting in and out, but so supposedly there's some negative stuff coming out about him from the 2000s or something.
Yeah, it is. And according to the Carolina Journal, which I don't know much about the Carolina Journal, but I know enough reading it that they're to the left. But their reporting is that members of the Trump campaign, as well as Republicans in the state, are urging him to pull out of the race based on whatever is about to come out later today.
Right. Well, the way I see it is, I mean, we all have a past. I mean, you know, we all have a past. I got a past. I made plenty of mistakes. And, who are you going to vote for if you don't vote for Mark Robinson? I mean, who else are you going to vote for?
Yeah. Luke, here's my take on all that. And you're right. Everybody's got a past. We are all sinners saved by grace. And, you know, if all of this happened before he became a Christian, then I'm not going to hold that against the man. I mean, yeah, it's embarrassing. But you know what? It's, you know, everybody has an embarrassing parts of their life. I will say this. I mean, it's one thing if it happened before you became a Christian and before you converted and changed your ways. It's another if you're, say, Congressman Mark Green and you're professing to be a devout evangelical and you're fooling around on your wife. So there is a difference.
Right now, he's got my vote as of right now.
Okay.
You know, something crazy comes out.
Yeah, and I think that's fair enough, Luke. And look, the people of North Carolina, you guys are smart enough to figure it all out. My concern with candidates like Mark Robinson, though, Luke, and again, I've been around him. He's a good guy. I can't call him a friend. We're not that close, but you know, he's always said the right things around me. But I will say this: the one challenge is that he's new to the scene, and you don't know a lot about his politics. You don't know a lot about him, you know, because he came up on the scene, you know, after standing up for the Second Amendment in the council meeting. Went on to become lieutenant governor, and he's fairly new to the political scene. So we've got that. Oh, geez, Luke, I got to go. I am super late for a break. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, folks, hang tight if you're on the lines. We're going to get to your calls right after the top of the hour news break. Coming up, we're going to tell you about an Arizona woman, 30-year ticket holder, season ticket holder to the Arizona Cardinals. She was ordered to remove her Trump hat or they would not allow her to get into the football game on Sunday. So we're going to be telling you more about that. Also, just some jaw-dropping news numbers, polling numbers coming out of the Steamfitters Union, the Teamsters. They're saying, and by the way, the headlines are all wrong on this. They're saying the Teamsters, they're not endorsing any candidate this year. That's not true. The rank and file have already endorsed somebody, and that person is Donald J. Trump. This is why the leadership is not endorsing anybody, because the rank and file would go bonkers. Over 60% say they're going to be backing Donald Trump. We're going to do a deep dive into those numbers coming up next. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think I need about a six-pack of cheer wine. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right. We've sort of taken a slight detour. And bear with me, and I know this is a North Carolina-centric story, but first of all, we got a lot of listeners in North Carolina, but North Carolina is important to the nation because President Trump needs North Carolina to win the election. So that's why whatever is happening in North Carolina matters a lot, and you need to pay very close attention to what's going on here. So I was on the phone with a source of mine, a very, very prominent conservative in North Carolina. And by the way, my apologies to the Carolina Journal. It turns out they are conservative leaning. So, wow. Well, kudos for that. But my apologies. And on this program, we always correct our mistakes right up front. So I said I didn't know much about them. And I said, but typically they lean. No, they don't. They're a conservative-leaning publication. Now, here's the problem. There's a big story that's about to drop, and it's a huge story about to drop concerning Mark Robinson, who is running for governor. Today is the last day for him to be able to pull out of the race. And there are calls within the Republican Party and within the Trump campaign for Robinson to pull out of the race. We don't know what. We have bits and pieces, drips and drabs of whatever this story is, and it's not good. And I don't know, and maybe you guys can help me out with this here. Whatever happened back in the early 2000s. And I don't, you know, it was 20 years ago, or almost 20 years ago. So I don't know if all of this happened before he became a follower of our Lord. And if that's the case, then I think you have to really weigh that. Okay, his life changed after he became a Christian. Did he change his ways? But apparently there is a lot of language involved, comments about MLK, just other things that are not good. And the concern is that if Robinson stays in the race, it could bring down the Republican Party in North Carolina. That's how serious this is. And so there are concerns within the conservative circles, and I've been talking to folk there in North Carolina. There are concerns that this may not go well for the Republicans. So our understanding is the lieutenant governor plans to fight this. CNN's coming out with some sort of a story. The National Review just posting a piece about a huge story about to drop on Mark Robinson. And Audrey Fahlberg is the author of this piece. She says, my phone is blowing up today with calls and texts from Republican sources in North Carolina who are waiting with bated breath about a huge story CNN is reportedly about to drop on Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. The article focuses on unsavory comments Robinson made in several online chat rooms. If what I'm hearing is correct, the story will nuke Robinson's already dwindling chances of flipping termed-out Democrat Governor Roy Cooper's seat. Today is the dropout deadline in North Carolina, though ballots are already being printed. Here is the reporting from Brian Anderson. If I can get my computer up here. Brian Anderson, who covers politics in North Carolina, says major drama shaking out of North Carolina's gubernatorial race. Robinson's two campaign events today, according to the reporting here, in Vance and Warren counties have been canceled. Robinson's closest advisors and Robinson himself are not taking my calls for comment. So there you go. May I just posit this thought as we go through a very strange time in the Republican Party? The Republican Party is really no longer a conservative party as much as it is a populist party. But the Republicans have a bad, bad habit of just not vetting candidates and not working with candidates to help them tune and fine-tune their messaging. And that we have seen this take place all over the country, and it's always ended ugly. And I will say this, if you are going to tout yourself as an I'm just going to make something up because I don't want to pile on Mark Robinson here. I'm just sharing the news and information coming out. And once the story is out, we will talk to you about it. I can tell you, I am very confident in telling you this. And this is a quote: conservatives in North Carolina are concerned. And we'll leave it at that. Now, my question is, if in fact all of these things happened before he became a Christian, will the voters in North Carolina understand that? Will they understand that a life has changed? I don't know. I think most good church-going people in North Carolina will, but the media won't, and the ads will be as ugly as anything you have ever seen. This is one of the things I respect about Donald Trump. He never cloaked himself in evangelical Christianity. He told the evangelicals, hey, I will come to your leader seeking advice and counsel. I will defend your causes, but I'm really not one of you. You know, Trump is not there every single Sunday on the front row of the church waving his hands with the cover worship band. That's not him. And I respect that a lot. I mean, I wish he was in church every Sunday raising his hands and tapping his toe with the cover worship band. Absolutely. But he's not pretending. He's not faking it, right? And so I respect that. So here we are. 901-260-5926. The Trump campaign is very, very concerned about this because they could lose North Carolina if this all goes south. It's a very tight race there. Let's say hello to David, listening to us on the talk station in North Carolina. All right, David, what say you?
I say welcome the blue state, the blue wave to North Carolina. The Carolina blue is coming. The blue wave is coming to Carolina. And, he is just a far out there bad person. Just a bad person.
Why do you say he's a bad person? I mean, I've met him. I've spent enough time with him to think I don't think he's that vibe. I didn't feel that vibe coming from that it was a bad person. What makes him a bad person in your mind?
You made the point that MLK, the people need to die, meet, be killed. Just his comments was like, he likes the Second Amendment. I like the Second Amendment, but he is out there. I don't know how he got this far being lieutenant governor, except for some grassroots running on Trump's coattails movement, but him and Michelle Moreau, the moron, they're going to bring Trump down to the state. So let's bring the blue wave here. And I have a question for you, since he might be potentially dropping out. Are they going to hold some new primaries for the new Republican governor?
Now, David, that's a good question, and I don't know. The short answer is I don't know, but we will find out because the ballots are already being printed. So, do the Republicans have the opportunity to pick somebody else? We're finding out the answer to that question, David. And as soon as I find out, I'll let you know on air. How's that?
That's fine. But they're reprinting them anyway for the mail-in ballots because of Kennedy dropping out.
Yeah, RFK. Right. Mm-hmm.
So they are going to be reprinting them again. Why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But are people going to be calling because they voted for him to run, and now they're just like the Harris was, you know, not the elected one. Are they going to call for somebody else for a new election for the primary?
It's a fair, David, it's a fair question. And I don't, you know, we'll get the answers to those. Again, this is breaking. And of course, we're still waiting for the CNN report to come out. But whatever it is bad enough that it has very, very rock solid MAGA conservatives alarmed there in the state of North Carolina. So, David, I hear you. And you know, again, we need to have a conversation about what's going on in North Carolina, because it's starting to happen in Georgia, where I think you're getting so many people moving into your state, diluting the Republican base, that your party, or that the, you know, the state is about to turn blue, as you said. David, appreciate that call. Let's go to Carrington in North Carolina. Carrington, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I was just wanting to say that I think in politics that everybody should keep in mind that we are all human and that we all make a mistake, and that, like, but all those mistakes and all that, all the bad that we create with our lives actually helps create us in the long run.
So, oh, like, I'm not disputing that at all. Look, this is politics, Carrington. This is not church. And it's going to be a challenge for Mark Robinson to maneuver through this. I'm not saying it's completely over for him, but I'm saying if you are going to put yourself out there and run for public office, you better put it all out there, and because they're going to dig it up. And that's the problem here, is that there was a lot of dirt and they were saving it. And I don't know what happened to poor Carrington, but Carrington, I hear exactly what you're saying, and you are absolutely right. But again, I'm not sure that messaging is going to set well with the political class there in North Carolina. Let's go to Rose. Hi, Rose. You're listening to us on WTKF. What say you, Rose?
Hi, Todd. I'm a Knoxvillean, but I live in North Carolina and share both states. And Mark Robinson's a good man, I think. Slandering him at this point in time is a waste of time. I think he would be a great governor, and he's done a great job as lieutenant governor for the state. We've had many things done that were without the help of the governor, and I saw the governor. I mean, this makes me very sad, because when COVID broke out, Roy Cooper was out there marching with Black Lives Matter, and 5 minutes earlier, he was on the television with Mandy Cohen, who became CDC director, and you know, there's some things going on that we don't understand, but Mark Robinson's a good man. I think it's wrong to slander his name.
Yeah, I have no doubt that he's a good man. I mean, the dealings I've had with him, he's been nothing but a gentleman and a Christian in his conduct. I think, though, the issue here, Rose, is it's all about politics. And politics is an ugly, ugly, cutthroat business. And when you jump into a race, you have to do so knowing that if you've got skeletons out there, those skeletons are going to come out of the closet. And it's always best to put those out there yourself rather than have people like CNN dig them up, you know, just the day, on the same day, you know, that the deadline for having your name removed from the ballot is happening right now.
Yes, and it was timed, and I believe that.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Every other candidate on the Republican Party scale, and I think Congress is very important to know that the deciding vote for the Inflation Reduction Act was Kamala Harris. I mean, she's put our country at risk. The Green New Deal, $94 million. They'll bankrupt the country. Their whole agenda is just to take over the country. And it's really scary to me, because I have two people in my life I love very much, World War II survivors. My mother, who is German, and my mother-in-law, who's Okinawan, and both of them barely survived World War II. This administration is leading us right straight into a war, and they just want to attack people, and it's very sad. We've come to this.
It is sad.
I like your show, too.
And Rose will think. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rose.
I said, I like your show. You're very open and honest.
Well, thanks, Rose. Look, it's for better or for worse, you know, and I'm all about winning elections. And I want Mark Robinson to be the next governor of North Carolina. The challenge is, when you've got a lot of stuff that might be out there, it, you know, you've, those are potholes, and you've got to be able to address those. And, you know, it's one thing if you can address them on the front end of your campaign, but when you're waiting this late in the game, it's scary. And the reality is, it's one thing if it was just North Carolina, but the entire presidency, the entire election could hinge on North Carolina. And that is a huge deal. So we've got to make sure we get this right. Let's see if Mark Robinson and his campaign are going to be able to address whatever is about to come out. From what I've heard, I mean, the things I've heard are terrible, but I don't know if they're like career ending, but I don't know. I don't know what's out there. We'll wait and see. Rose, got to run. Folks, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them. These gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
We can do all of this and more, but patriotic New Yorkers must get your asses out to vote. Gotta get up. Gotta get up. Harry, get up, Harry. Harry, get your fat ass out of the couch. You're gonna vote for Trump today, Harry. Get up, Harry. Come on, let's go. Let's go, Harry.
Wow. Who's Harry? I just wonder, who's Harry? Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. That was Donald Trump last night in Long Island. I lived among these people for almost 15 years, and this is how they talk. This is how they are. When they drop the F-bomb on you, it's really not that they're angry. They're just actually sometimes being very cordial. So I don't know why, but that's just kind of, you know, the Northeasterners in the New York area are very brusque people. And when you're living, you know, what, 15 million people butt cheek to butt cheek? Yeah, you're going to be a little bit, you know, riled up. So Trump was talking their language last night. Trump would not say that down south. You know, if he was coming to, I don't know, Nashville, he would say, you know, Bubba Earl, get up, Bubba Earl, get your buttocks out of. It doesn't have the same effect, does it? No, it doesn't. But anyway, all that to say, Trump is right. If we get out the vote, we win on Election Day. That's what we do. We win on Election Day. I want to play some audio here. This is a member of the Steamfitters Union, and he's announcing some big news that will make Donald Trump very happy. Let's listen.
I can tell you on my end, the Steamfitters have voted in the poll. We have a 70% return in favor of President Trump.
Why?
Well, everything that's gone on the last 4 years, an open border, inflation, gas prices, oil, mortgage rates. I mean, I can go on and on. The immigrants just getting into neighborhoods like the neighborhood I grew up in, which I mentioned last night. I have a daughter down there. She's afraid to walk around. And this is a neighborhood I grew up in. These are where people worked hard all their life to buy a house in a nice neighborhood. And now it's destroyed by illegal immigrants. And like I said last night, too, to David Muir and Lindsay Davis, those two hacks from the moderators from the debate. They don't have to go to Springfield, Ohio, to look at mutilated animals. They could go to right in Queens in a federal park. And you'll see them all over the beach. It's disgusting. It's bringing the property value down. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think people around the country see that as well. Yeah, I know what they're saying about Springfield, Ohio. By the way, Trump says he's going to go there and do a rally. And the mayor was like, no, can't do it. It'll overextend our police. What do you mean overextend your police, Mr. Mayor? You said nothing's going on in Springfield. It's a place, it's like a utopia where the cats can frolic about and the ducks can... Yeah, right. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, the Teamsters Union, they've been endorsing Democrats since Bill Clinton. So they have been in the pocket of the Democrat Party for a very long time. And the news coming out yesterday that the Teamsters had decided they will not endorse any presidential candidate this election cycle, which is really a devastating blow for Kamala Harris. And folks, I'm telling you, this was like the Acme anvil dropping on the head of the Dems here. This is actually very good news for Donald Trump. So the Teamsters, while the leadership said they're not going to be endorsing anybody, they also released a member poll they conducted. And here are the numbers. The Teamsters Union, nearly 60% supporting Donald Trump, 34% supporting Kamala Harris. So there you go. It is not good news. Sean O'Brien, and you remember, he was the guy, he was invited to speak at the RNC and he really said a lot of things that angered a lot of conservatives. But Trump was all about big tent party, and the Teamsters appreciated that. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to the CEO of Stearns Media Group, our good friend Dalton Glasscock. And Dalton, good to have you with us today.
Always good to join you, Todd.
Yeah, you know, it's we were talking a couple of weeks ago about the changing dynamic within the Republican Party and the rise of populism. And I'm wondering if you were surprised by these numbers coming out of the Teamsters Union and also the Steamfitters Union. 70% support Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we're going through a political realignment in the country, and I think things are changing in terms of policies the Republican Party historically have not supported under the Trump administration have begun to change and support some of those. So I think there is some political realignment, but I also think there has been, and this isn't, hidden, for decades, there have been disagreements between union leadership and union membership in terms of policy and in terms of candidates to support. You know, when I'm out talking to people, almost every union person I know is a Republican. However, most union leaders I know are Democrats. And so I think there's been a discrepancy between the leadership of the unions and the membership of the union. I think that's finally changing, or the leadership's recognizing if they still want to have control and authority over unions, they're going to have to change their tune moving forward as well.
There was another interesting report that came out from Axios. They've been running the numbers. Since July 21st, President Trump has engaged in 14 television and print interviews. J.D. Vance has done 59 interviews. Man, they keep those VP guys busy, don't they, Glasscock? That's impressive.
Those numbers I'm shocked by, yeah. But I mean, that's a pretty extensive going into. I mean, that's a lot of hours of talking.
It is, and you have to hang around journalists, so that's never a good day. By comparison, the vice president has only granted 3 interviews, and Waltz has only granted 4. What does that tell you? And is that a problem?
I mean, I think they're pulling the Biden strategy in 2020 as hide and just run on the personality of what the media can paint you as. And it worked for Biden in 2020. And so I think that's the strategy of Dems now is hide, don't answer questions, run on personality, not policy. And if they continue to do that, they have a very good chance of winning. Because when we talk about policy, Republicans are going to win. And so the less that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have to talk about policy, the better it is for their campaign.
Trump has done 3 press conferences, J.D. Vance, 12, Harris and Walz, a goose egg, none.
I'm not shocked. You know, most journalists aren't like you, Todd. So I'm super shocked by that.
That's a good thing. Yes, I think it's – look, this is what gets me is these journalists – if they would stop being propagandists for just a second and understand, they've got to think this thing through. If they're going to treat them like garbage out on the campaign trail, how do you think she's going to treat them if she gets elected?
Well, the line between journalism and opinion has been blurred for, years now. And so often there's not any difference between a journalist and an opinion writer. And the average, citizen is not going to go when they're listening to news, they don't necessarily identify whether it's a journalist or opinion writer. And so everything's the same to them. You know, we don't have straight journalism at almost any network anymore in the country, and that's a significant problem.
All right. I want to get you to weigh in here on this weird story coming out of North Carolina. And it's important, it's, you know, for North Carolina, but also for the nation, because that is a battleground state, and Trump has to win North Carolina. And there are rumblings. We are all waiting for CNN to drop some sort of a massive hit piece. It has conservatives very nervous. We understand Mark Robinson's canceled two campaign events today, and Team Trump is speaking through a conservative journal there, saying that they really think he needs to pull out of the race. Dalton, I mean, you've been in politics for a long, long time. What advice would you give to candidates out there? Somebody wants to jump into a race and run. What advice would you give them?
First, know your scandals. Whenever I meet with any candidate, when I was party chair with candidates, I said, tell me every single thing in your life right now, and we can mitigate it. We can figure out a way. We all have challenges. We all have concerns. We all have things that, you know, don't want to hit the press. But tell me now, so when it does, because it will hit the press, we can figure out and have a strategy to address this. And own your mistakes. Do not lie. Do not spread falsehoods about it. Own your mistakes, because the truth will come out every single time. Everybody has some scandal they want to come out. But if candidates are not willing to admit that to their campaign team and their campaign staff on day one and evaluate whether or not they want that to come out at some point, then they're setting themselves up for failure and disaster. And it's not just going to affect them. It's going to affect the voters. It's going to affect the citizens. And they have to realize that this isn't just about them. This is about the policies and ideas they hold. And if they believe it's just about them, they shouldn't be running for office in the first place.
No, somebody was telling me, they're like, well, these all happened before he became, you know, a Christian. And if that's the case, again, I completely respect that. And I think as a Christian, I understand that story. But I'm not sure the average voter in America is going to understand that delineation there. Go ahead.
Depending on the severity of it, people are willing to forgive you. Americans want a redemption story. They want to forgive people. They know that they mess up in their life, and so they're willing to give grace to someone. They're not willing to give grace to someone who runs from it, who lies from it, and doesn't seem like they've changed. If it's a recurring pattern, then you need to get out of politics. If it's a one-off thing, yes, voters will give you grace. Almost every single elected official in this country has some scandal or something they don't want out there, or something that's out there that they wish wouldn't have come out. But just own it and make sure that it isn't a repetitive pattern, and that you're still not in whatever the scandal is.
You see, I think it's the hypocrisy here, and we've seen this. You know, for example, we'll just make something up here. Let's say that you're campaigning on a plan to outlaw alcohol. You want to reinstate prohibition, and it turns out that you're running a liquor store, or you drink booze. People don't understand that. They're like, wait, what? So, again, this is a matter of just getting a – and I said this in the last segment, Dalton, is that own your own scandals. You know, get it all out there from day one and deal with it. You know, don't – the drips and the drabs are what kill you.
Regardless of whether people like Donald Trump or not, he's owned every single one of his scandals. I mean, he's owned things that for any other presidential candidate, especially as a Republican, would have been non-starters. But Donald Trump didn't hide from it. He didn't have a hypocritical tone to it. He was like, yeah, this was my life. I don't think he's denied really most things in the past. And so he owned a lot of the things that would have been non-starters for a lot of candidates previously. But he was able to surmount. And honestly, he's probably one of the only people in the country that can surmount a lot of those as well.
And he boasts about it, too. That's what's so brilliant. It's like, there's no shame. Of course I did it.
He owns it, and I mean, that's what people want. They want somebody that's going to be a man of their word and stand by what they say or what they've done or what
that's
they
right.
did. And if not, then let's figure out a way to change it.
Say what you want, and say what you want to about Trump, ladies and gentlemen. He delivers on his campaign promises, and that's why. Look, we've got a lot riding on this, and Dalton, I know you and I have been through policy here, but when you look at what Kamala Harris is out there saying, what she said in the past. When she was district attorney in San Francisco, saying that, you know, the government has a right to go into your home and to see if your lawfully acquired firearm is being stored in a responsible way. That is not the United States of America that I know.
I'll say it again and again and again. If we talk about policy, we win.
Yeah.
If we're trying to campaign on personality, we're going to lose. And her policies are dangerous to America. We've had those conversations, and we need to campaign on that, is her ideas are dangerous. It doesn't matter who Kamala Harris is. It's, these are the ideas that she has, and this is how it's going to affect your family.
Hey, I know that you were you went to the big Charlie Kirk shindig, or not Charlie Kirk, I'm sorry, Tucker Carlson shindig in Wichita. Huge crowds coming out there for Tucker?
People are incredibly energized. I think people are wanting to go out there. They want to hear directly without, you know, a medium in the way, so they don't want to go to traditional media sources, and that's what Tucker was able to do in Wichita, and I think that resonated with people. I mean, there was probably upwards of 10,000 people at the event, and, you know, what the negative was, there wasn't a way to plug people in to volunteer afterward, or how do you engage people after this? So I think that was a missed opportunity that I hope happens at future events. But I think it was a great turnout, and people are energized.
I do want to give Charlie Kirk a shout-out. TPUSA, they have really stepped up the voter registration effort. And, Dalton, I've seen them on three or four university campuses where they're actually running out of voter registration forms, you know, getting people registered, young people. And granted, that demographic doesn't actually get out and traditionally vote, but you never know. It's a crazy election cycle.
At 30 years old, Charlie Kirk is doing more for the Republican Party than the Republican Party is doing for itself.
Wow. Well, there you go. That says a lot. And I'll throw in there our buddy Ralph Reed over at the Faith and Freedom Coalition. They actually registered more people as Republicans in the last election cycle than the Republican Party did. Unbelievable.
I see Turning Point USA at more events than I see the party at. So, I mean, they're doing more than the Republican Party is doing to help itself.
You know what? That's a fair point. And what is it? I know you've been involved in Republican leadership at the national level. What is it that the Republicans need to do? What is your encouragement to RNC headquarters?
Just go out to events. I think we expect people to come to us. They're expecting, you know, Trump rallies to be the end-all, be-all. Trump rallies don't matter if you don't turn those into votes and if those people aren't registered, or if they don't have advanced ballot applications to be able to go and actually vote early. And so unless we're turning these rallies into actionable steps, we're failing at grassroots. We're not out there door knocking. We're not trying to convince hearts and minds. We're just trying to own the lids. Owning the lids is not a policy to win. We actually have to get our side out there to vote and turn hearts and minds, get people out there and vote.
Man, that's a great word. Can we put that on a T-shirt? That would be great. That's
hey,
a good one.
We'll see how many words we can fit on T-shirt. We'll sell it at topcharts.com.
I love it. Also, we had a lot of grandmas calling in today, and they're fired up. So we got to do something like Grannies for Trump or something. It's I told them we'd work on
hey,
it.
Hey, we have some merch on there right now. People, go check it out, and we'll make sure to pop some new stuff up soon.
I love it. All right, Dalton Glasscock, Wichita, Kansas. Dalton, thanks.
Talk soon, Todd.
All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I think everybody in the Trump campaign is just waiting. They're just they're typing in Mark Robinson's name on their X feed, and they're just waiting for whatever. It's hilarious to watch everybody just waiting for whatever happens to happen. Now, I promised one of our listeners we were going to get this information, and we did. Thanks to Grace Baker. So the question is, what is the process if Robinson drops out of the race? Will there be another primary? And the answer is no. The state executive committee would appoint, and I'm assuming that's the Republican state executive committee. And I'm just going to throw this out there because I know that he was not very popular with the Republican leadership, the establishment Republican in North Carolina. I'd be curious to know who leaked that information to CNN. And I'll just leave it there. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Let's go to the phone lines here. Thad in Georgia, listening to us on the great WDUN. That's Bill Maine territory. Hi, Thad. What's going on?
Oh, nothing, Todd. I'm just listening to all this stuff that's going on. And one of the things the Republicans need to do, and they're not doing it worth a flip, is the people that are showing up at a rally, they're already there because they're fired up about Trump. He ain't got to fire them folks up. They need to be running statistics and numbers. We were in the White House 4 years ago, boys. This is what we did. This is what gas cost. This is what your rent was. This is what your retirement was drawing. No wars. They need to throw numbers up on the screen and throw statistics at these people so these simple-minded people that ain't getting it can understand. I mean, to get up there and talk about Kamala hates Israel, Kamala hates the Muslims, that ain't going to go nowhere. They need to tell people the numbers. They need to vote with their wallet. That's what they're going to do anyways. They need to give them the numbers. Throw the numbers at them.
And that, I think that's what people are starving for right now. And let me say something about the voter registration turnout. It is overwhelmingly young white men. And Thad, if you're looking at a demographic in America that has been disenfranchised and put upon over the past couple of decades now, it's that particular demographic. I think people are getting sick and tired of how they have been treated by the Democrat Party. And to your point, we've got to put that into words. We've got to put that into graphics. We've got to put that into numbers. And if we do that, we win hands down.
They need to sidestep this issue, at least in part, this Roe versus Wade thing, and quit talking about how Trump reversed it. Trump didn't reverse anything. He turned it over to the states, but they're doing a really sorry job of explaining to people that each state has this issue and we have to deal with it.
And you know why, Thad? Let me explain that to you. Hold on. I'll let you finish your thought here. Somebody in the Trump comms team told him, Mr. President, what you need to do is come out and say, and they're trying to convince you that Donald Trump is somehow pro-choice. That's the wrong way to communicate it. The issue is Donald Trump says I'm the most pro-life president in American history. Great. But the American people said we want this issue decided on the state basis, the state level, and I gave them what they asked for. Case closed.
They just need – he can leave the adjectives out about describing Kamala or – Waltz, as far as any kind of personal thing, all he needs to do is show their background, explain this is what their family, this is what they brought up, this is what they done. Those kind of things, the adjectives about she hates this or he hates that. I mean, they need to know the background. It doesn't matter. I mean, she could be standing up there in a Barney costume. That does not matter. It only matters what she's done, what her record says. They need to put the numbers out there. They need to also show her voting record. She's been on the wrong side of every issue there ever was, even more so than Joe Biden. So all the rhetoric about firing people up, you ain't going to fire them up. You need to worry about firing the ones up that don't know any better, that don't know that they need the numbers. That's what they need, the numbers. That's all they need is the numbers.
All right. Got it. Thad, we got to leave it there. Coming up on a break, good call, and thank you for listening. And I think the Trump campaign has done an amazing job with the videos, the ads that are coming out that I'm seeing on social media platforms. We need to be getting those ads in every television market across America. And I will tell you this, as I was driving, I was going over to church. It's Wednesday night church supper. I actually forgot it was Wednesday night church supper. I was just dropping off some books at the church library. I'm like, why are these people here? And it was Chick-fil-A night, so you know I had to stay for church supper. But anyway, on the way back home, I saw tons of Trump signs in Germantown, Tennessee. How about that? All right, hang tight, folks. Hour three coming up. Trump on Gutfeld last night. We've got some great audio from that. Also, they are renaming one of the most beautiful spots in the Great Smoky Mountains. We're going to tell you about that as well. Stick around, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Trump was on Gutfeld last night, and it was epic. It was absolutely epic. And Gutfeld did a great job. We're going to play some audio, and then we're going to bring Bill from Memphis, Tennessee, and he wants to talk about this. President Trump was having a lot of fun last night, and he got a little serious. I wanted you to listen to this bit of the conversation, President Trump on Greg Gutfeld's show.
So if you want to be president, I have a lot of friends that wanted to run. They're thinking about maybe not doing it. But here's the only good thing is that It's always a consequential president that gets shot at.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, so far, I've been very lucky, or something is greater than all of us.
Ooh.
Something is up there. Someone is up there maybe watching over us.
I think he's voting for you.
Yeah. It's funny. I always thought the most dangerous job was feeding The View. But you bring up God. You bring up God, and you've almost been killed twice. Do you think more about your own mortality and what happens after you go move on?
Yeah, not about mortality, but I do think more about God because, okay, Butler was really the greatest of all miracles. If I'm not looking over there, and I mean a full turn, exactly 90 degrees, I wouldn't be here right now. Mm-hmm. And your ratings would be a little bit lower, perhaps.
Yeah. We have Kilmeade there.
We have to tell the story of how we first met. The ratings over. Remember that?
Yes.
One week he just played that thing. But I do think about that because the chart, it was basically an immigration chart. We had our lowest numbers that we've ever had in immigration. And I very rarely use it, maybe 15-20%. It's always on my left and it's always at the end of a speech. So now I said, bring down the chart right at the very beginning, almost like the first sentence of the speech. Bring down that chart because immigration is such a big thing now with, you know, our country being basically taken over by Venezuela and lots of other people. So I said, bring down the chart. And the chart drops down. And I go, look at those numbers. And I look over to the right and ping.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not, I knew something was definitely wrong. And it was a mess. I said, that's unusual.
Do you remember when you showed it to me?
I showed it.
Yeah, you showed it to me. You said, I know people aren't going to believe this, so Gutfeld, take a look at my ear.
That's right. You know, we met at the convention.
Yeah.
And I said, who am I going to show it to? You know, we have a lot of guys. You know, they'll say it didn't exist. And I actually did have such confidence in him, and he's really a very special guy, talented guy, good guy, great guy. And I said, you know, if I'm going to show it, let's do it with Gutfeld.
Yes.
And
that's amazing. It's amazing.
Because it happened right after.
Yeah, how did you get him to see the top of your ear?
Well, I sat in a low chair.
Okay, thank you.
But you know what? It was true. And I took the bandages off very carefully.
Yeah.
And I showed him. He said, that's nasty.
Yes.
That was nasty. But
I kind of wanted to touch it, but I knew I would have been tackled.
Wow, it's true. And Gutfeld's a short little fella. That's great. This is Donald Trump. That you got to see Donald Trump in all of his glory right there. And just he's the kind of a guy you'd want to hang out with for the night, just having a good old conversation, sharing a meal with. And you can't get that with Kamala Harris, right? You can't get that with Jazz Hands, Tampon Timmy. You can't. It was really a unique moment, and I hope a lot of people were watching that last night and got to see Donald Trump for who he really is. I want to go to Bill. He's been holding on for a while. Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our great affiliate there. Bill, did you watch the interview last night?
I watched it twice.
Is that right?
I deliver newspapers. Yeah, I listened to it the first time and watched it the second time.
What was your take on Trump and Gutfeld and their interaction?
Yeah, that's the Donald Trump we know. That's the Donald Trump we know, not the lies and the fake, characterizations that they're giving with these, you know, liberal news media that everyone's being lied to and believing. That's the Trump we all know, the guy who can talk to anybody, who's got a great sense of humor. The show was awesome. I mean, you can't watch most shows twice. That show, I could watch it multiple times because it was so funny. And the interaction between all the different hosts. And I didn't realize, what's his name? The big guy was as big as he was.
Tyrus.
He was huge. I didn't realize he was that big. I knew he was big, but my God, he's bigger than I thought he was. But it was a great show. Just the point you just showed, I mean, that was one of the great moments as well. But the whole show was great moments all the way through. And he was honest. And that's, you know, I tell people all the time, it's like, why do you hate Trump? They can't ever tell you why. They make up some garbage that they've heard on the news, on a TV station or something, but it's like, those are not true stories. Those are fake.
Bill,
Trump has done good things for people. He likes making people happy.
Bill, let me tell you this. Before Trump announced he was running for the White House, He was the darling of Hollywood. The gals on The View, they loved him. Whoopi Goldberg, all of them. They worshipped and adored this man. All of them did, even Hillary Clinton. But when he decided to run for office, all of a sudden he becomes the great Satan.
I remember. I'm about your age. I remember forever. Almost every other week, he was on the Oprah show, and she continually told him, "We need him to be president." He said, "I don't know. I really can't afford it." She goes, "We need you. We need you." He goes, "One day I might. I might if I feel like the country's going in the wrong direction. I might." But every other week, she was pushing him to run for president, and now she's endorsing against him. It's like, what? I mean, but people don't know that. You know, my daughter, who's in high school, now she's in college, she talked to me about this back before. It's back in 2016. She says, "Talk to me about Trump is so bad. Why? You know, this, and I said, no. I want you to do some research. Go back on YouTube. I'm sure you can find it. Go back 20 years, 30 years, and find tapes of Trump. And Google Trump and Oprah Winfrey." And it took her a week. She searched it over and over. And we talked and she said, "You're right. Donald Trump was a great guy. Everybody loved him, and now they hate him." And she saw exactly what's going on. And she's a Trump supporter, which most of the young kids aren't. But it's just wild. It amazes me still that people, our older people, which supposedly intelligent, still fall for the lies. It's just, it's dangerous for our country, really. It really is dangerous. And the stuff they've done to get people to actually feel like they have to go out and try to kill this man is beyond absurd. It's beyond absurd.
Well, and they're putting a target on every single Trump supporter out there. And that's what concerns me. Look, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. You've got that right here in this country. I'll defend your right. And Bill, you listen to KWAM, the radio station I own in Memphis. And you know that on this radio station, we bring Democrats on as well as Republicans. You know, we want to have that conversation. I always believe the conservative viewpoint will always win the day. But the other side doesn't believe in that, Bill. It's their way or you become an enemy of the state. I got a big problem with that. And if we elect Kamala Harris, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, you know, Hillary, I'm sure you heard, you talked about Hillary's comments probably about her talking about how dangerous it is. And we need to go search these people out that have these views and maybe, you know, do something to them. Like, you know, like if you say a differing view on Facebook, like it's dangerous for society. And like we need to hunt these people down. She literally, I'm sure you've heard that and maybe played that.
Oh, sure.
I never would have ever imagined America would get this way. And that's why it's divided. People don't, I don't understand how they can get away with blaming Trump for dividing us. He's not the one dividing us other than he drug the swamp open. And now he threw a bunch of the things out of the swamp and on the shore and people are seeing them. And now they're horrible and they're trying to do things to everybody. And if people don't recognize that, but instead they look at the guy who went into the swamp and pulled him out.
That's it. Bill, I hate to do this. We are super late for a break here, but it's a good thought and it's a good word. Folks, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern's Radio Show. Some stories out of the southern states. Political correctness has now invaded the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. So the highest peak in the park is known as Clingman's Dome. I think just about everybody in the South has been to the Great Smoky Mountains, and many of you have climbed up to Clingman's Dome. It is the highest peak in the Smokies and one of the most popular spots in the park. Get this. More than 650,000 people every year visit Clingman's Dome. Now, here's where the story gets interesting. So the site is named after Thomas Clingman. Now, back in 1859, he was, and by the way, this was originally called the Smoky Dome, right? The Smoky Dome. In 1859, the mountain was renamed Clingman's Dome by a geographer for his friend Thomas Clingman, who explored and promoted the area and was apparently the first person who accurately measured the peak's elevation. And then Thomas Clingman went on after 1859 to fight in the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, where he became a Confederate war general. So you kind of know where this story is going. Clingman is a white guy, and he fought for the Confederacy, and you know the rest of the story. So the U.S. Board of Geographic Names has voted in favor of changing the name of Clingman's Dome, and the National Park Service has agreed it is the right thing to do. Moving forward, Clingman's Dome will be known as the Cherokee word Kuwohi, K-U-W-O-H-I, Kuwohi. Kuwohi is the correct pronunciation. Kuwohu? No, Kuwohi. It is a Cherokee word meaning Mulberry Place. Why don't we just call it Mulberry Place, right? Anyway, people are really upset about this, and people are just fired up, and they're pitching fits on social media. We posted the story, and people are just enraged. Enraged, I say. And I hate to break it to you, but this is the way it is. This is life in the novel 1984. In 2024, remember what George Orwell wrote many, many years ago. Every record has been destroyed or falsified, every book rewritten, every picture repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's unfortunate, but this is what's going on here. And understand this, and I don't mean this to trigger anybody, but the reality is if there is something in this country that was named after a white guy, then it will be renamed. It doesn't matter if it's a park, a building, a street. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there is any sort of a monument out there for a white person. It's gone. It's gone. It is. We are watching a cultural cleansing of America. In 2019, I wrote a book about this. It's called Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. And I took people through story by story about how the left was marching through American history and they were literally rewriting it, which, you know, at the time there was a big fight over something called Common Core that was being taught in the public school classrooms. Many of you remember these stories. And if you haven't, I would encourage you to go get a copy of Culture Jihad. It's available to all your bookstores. You can get it at Amazon. You can also get it, I think it's cheaper on my website, toddstearns.com. But you need to read it because the Taliban does the same thing. When they would invade a country, the Taliban would immediately target the cultural centers of that country and they would destroy every museum, every piece of art, any artifact, anything that was important to the traditions of that country, they would destroy. And that's exactly what the left is doing in this nation right now. And I don't know about you, but I'm not calling Clingman's Dome Kuwohi. I'm calling it Clingman's Dome. And you should too. But hear me on this. You should not be surprised. In Memphis, Tennessee, they desecrated local parks. They removed beautiful Confederate war statues and monuments. They literally dug up the dead body of a Confederate war general because they said the presence of a dead Confederate in a park would trigger black people. They took a beautiful park. They used to call it Confederate Memorial Park in downtown overlooking the Mississippi River. And they renamed the park and they removed a statue of Jefferson Davis from the park. You know what they put up in its place? A giant Afro hair pick. No, I'm not making it up. You can Google it. You can see it's a giant 8 foot tall Afro hair pick with a black power fist on the handle. That's what's going on in Memphis. And now if you wander around our city parks that were once beautiful, lush parks, now they're just wastelands. Just wastelands. It's really sad what's happened here. But this is what the left wants to do. It's a dystopian. They want a dystopian America. Now, the National Park Service says the peak is a sacred place for the Indian people. So there's no word yet if pale faces are going to be allowed to visit. So, Dylan, have you ever gone to Clingman's Dome? Have you ever been up there?
I was around that area, but I never went to that part.
You may not be able to.
Probably not.
Unless you got a little Indian in you. And then you might be able to. I don't know. It's very sad. But this is the reality of it, folks. So, if I were you, I would just bring... You know, if you're going to go and you're of the Caucasian persuasion, just wear like an Indian headdress or something, or bring a tomahawk, a tom-tom, and they might let you in. So I don't know. I mean, if it's a sacred place, pale face, no welcome here. I don't know. How do you, I don't know what to do. Anyway, it's all very unfortunate and very sad. Do you get bothered by this, folks? That do you see this, that they're just erasing history? Anybody bothered by this? They did it in the dark of night here in Memphis, and it's brutal. It's brutal. I would encourage you, if you want to see what being in the minority population looks like, come to Memphis, Tennessee. I'll drive you around, and you'll get a pretty good idea, because they will put you in your place here in Memphis. They will. I love my city. It's the best city in America. But they don't like white people here. I'm just telling you, it's true. I dare anybody to call in and challenge that, but they don't like white people in Memphis. And it's sad, because I kind of like white people. I like black people. I like all kinds of people. But there are some here, and I'm just telling you, it's not good. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So we're going to be taking your calls. Don't forget patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Consider making the switch to a Christian conservative wireless company. You're going to, trust me, folks, you're going to love it. You can also call them 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use my first name, Todd, and they're going to give you free activation and some great discounts as well. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. No, I'm not. People are shocked. Todd, I can't believe you just said what you said. Well, it's true. And I have no problem saying that, you know, in Memphis, Tennessee, white people are not welcome. It's true. I mean, all of the, you know, the new mayor talks about Memphis being this black utopia, and says it's, he wants Memphis known for its black swagger and soul. He doesn't want the white swaggers. He doesn't want, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm still pretty fly for a white guy, if I say so myself. But I'm just saying it's good to understand your place in this world, which is rapidly heading to the back of the bus. And that being said, don't be surprised if you are not allowed to access, oh, what are they calling it? It's Kauai. What's the little goldfish called? That's what I keep. I'm like, they're naming it after a goldfish, but that's not a that's a different word. Thank you. It's a koi, not to be confused with poi, which is what they eat over in Hawaii. Okay, thank you, Dylan. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Pastor John in Kentucky. Hi, Pastor. What's on your mind?
Hey there, Mr. Starnes. First of all, I got a great big thank you to you. Remember that time when you let me vent about how the local Republican Party just wants your money and they don't want to reach out and get the support of the local people? Well, I got an email saying, "Dear Mr. So-and-so, we would really appreciate you working with us, and we need volunteers." So that's a great big attaboy to the Todd Starnes Show and the entire staff.
I'm glad we could help. Thank you very much, Pastor John. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I just got to say this. I've been listening to all your callers. The one thing, again, is that it's a very simple thing, and you even talk about this quite a bit.
Oh, I think we may have lost Pastor. Oh, there we go.
A lot of these different Democratic states and stuff like that, they are going socialist, and that's what's happening with, you know, Waltz and Harris. That's what they're going to do. They're going to turn us into a socialist-type country. And I just encourage the local, at the local level of the Republican Party, is to get off your keisters. And I'm talking about the Republican headquarters out there. And you need to reach out to your supporters, because if you don't, you will lose them.
Yeah.
A lot of them are going conservative independent right now. And one more thing, if I'm not, I know a lot of the upper echelon real people would do out to your.
All right, Pastor John, yeah, you have got a super bad phone connection, and I apologize. Give us a call back. Let's go to Doug in Georgia. Doug, am I wrong here about Memphis?
No, Todd. Matter of fact, my wife and I, who went to Memphis, and I'm a blues man. I wanted to go to blues bars and listen to all this stuff. But people actually stared us down, and I got bumped on the sidewalk, and I don't look threatening, I mean, except I'm a white guy, and the reason I called in is to let you know I'm from Detroit. I mean, I can go downtown Detroit, which is a very dark city, very black city, and wonderful people, by the way, I will say. I'm not a racist. But, man, I felt like people in Memphis did not like me, and I had never been there before. I hadn't done anything. So I feel it. I feel it. And last thing I'll say is the President of the United States comes out and says that white people are the biggest threat to this country, white supremacy. I never thought I was a supremacist. I did like the Supremes, but that's about it.
I don't think you're allowed to buy their music, Doug. I don't think you're allowed to buy their music anymore.
I'm a supremacist. I'm a supremacist.
A supremacist. Thank you.
I told a friend of mine that, he actually called me a racist.
Of course.
I can't teach you here what I'm saying. No, that's you, buddy.
All right. Doug, appreciate it. It's true. No, it's, you just have to experience, when you experience it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And I've had several people come up to me, and they moved here to the city, and they realize, wow, I see what you're talking about now. It's and look, it's not even subtle. It's sort of in your face now. Let's go to Mike in Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Mike, what's on your mind?
Todd, what you're saying is absolutely true, and I experienced it personally on Monday riding the MATA bus. I'm 63, so I qualify as elderly by MATA standards. I have an electric bike because I have some physical limitations, and they allow you, if you've got an electric wheelchair or an electric bike, to sit in the front where the seats are right up against the side of the bus, so there's plenty of space. If you go further back where the rows are, there's a very narrow aisleway, but the driver said, no, you can't ride up front. You have to go to the back of the bus because your e-bike is creating a problem. And I said, but I'm 63, so I qualify as elderly, and I've been doing this for the last month. He said, if you want to ride the bus, go to the back. So I had to go to the back. Immediately, a 20-something-year-old black man came and got on the bus, and guess where he sat? Right at the front of the bus in the handicapped elderly spots.
There you go, Mike. I mean, it's
welcome to Memphis.
Yeah,
Hey, Todd. By the way, I'm Cherokee. So, and I don't have a problem with Klingman's Dome, the remaining Klingman's Dome. Now, it is a sacred place to the Cherokee, and as someone whose ancestors lived in that area, I'm very familiar with the customs, and they still practice those sacred customs, and they still go there and visit that. And what you want to call it, it's up to you. You're welcome to call it anything you like.
Well, there you go. Well, Mike, I appreciate that. I'm sorry you had to deal with that on the Memphis public transportation there. It's sad. But again, that's the reality here, folks. And, you know, people need to be aware of it, because when it happens in your neighborhood, a lot of people are going to be very shocked. They'll be surprised. But that's just the way it is. All right. I've got to talk about this woman out of Arizona. She has been a 30 years, ladies and gentlemen, she has been a season ticket holder for the Arizona Cardinals. So anyway, she's going to the game, and she presented her ticket. She was ushered in, and there's a security, you know, there are security guards there. And one of the security guards told her, ma'am, you're not allowed to wear that hat inside this stadium. And she was wearing one of the MAGA hats. And she said, well, why not? She goes, because the hat is offensive and it's against our rules. Well, again, this 30-year ticket, season ticket holder, she knew the rules. She said, well, there's nothing, there's no rule. So they literally pull out the rule book. And sure enough, there was no rule banning any sort of a political or message or whatever. They did ban, according to the rules, any clothing, anything that might be offensive. And so according to the security guard, the Trump hat was offensive. So they told the woman, you've got a choice here. You can throw that hat in the trash and get into the game, or you're not going to be allowed entry. And so anyway, the woman, she threw the hat away. And she was really upset about it, got in touch with the local media, and they did a big news story. And it turns out that the security guards were wrong, and the Arizona Cardinals is reaching out to this fan, and they've apologized. Well, that's all well and good. And my issue is not with, well, there is an issue with the stadium. My issue is with the Trump fan. That tells me you are a fair weather Trump supporter, ma'am. And she explained on TV that she regretted her decision, but she was afraid of what her family might say if she jeopardized their season tickets to the Arizona Cardinals. Who cares about the Arizona Cardinals? You see, this is what I'm talking about, folks. There are things in this woman's mind, having season tickets to an NFL game was more important than standing up for her beliefs and her values. And my encouragement to all of you out there is to take a stand. Don't be afraid. If there are consequences, so be it. But I'm telling you, this sends a bad message, and I hate that the woman had to go through this, but the correct response would have been to keep right on walking and not take that hat off your head. And if they stop you and arrest you and throw you in jail, so be it. You become an international news story. So, again, I just, come on, folks. Jeez, hello. All right, we got to take a break. And what would you have done in that situation? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Got to tell you, if you haven't already done so, you need to go check out NewsmaxInvest.com. NewsmaxInvest.com. You're going to be able to get information on how you can become a part owner in the fastest growing cable news channel in America. You can watch Newsmax on cable, you can stream Newsmax, or you can watch it free on the Newsmax app. All you need to do is go to NewsmaxInvest.com to get started. Forbes magazine says Newsmax is a news powerhouse, and they're absolutely right. By the way, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, you'll be able to watch the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Again, NewsmaxInvest.com.
I live in Latitude, Margaritaville.
What's your most important issue?
The economy. Getting the interest rates down. Getting it what we can afford to live in America. Right now, it's too expensive.
Okay, now, let me maybe ask like a slightly impolite question. But, if you can afford a boat, you're not hurting so bad, right? Because a boat costs a lot of money and it's a lot of upkeep.
Listen, nobody gave me I earned everything that I've got. I'm retired military, retired power plant, and I am successful and retired and with boats, jet skis, because I did it right. And everybody has that chance. Whether they choose or not, that's up to them.
All right. That was a portion of an interview that aired last night on Anderson Cooper 360 on CNN. They sent a reporterette to a MAGA boat parade, and this woman was basically saying, how dare you? What right do you have to complain about the economy because you own a boat? As if that's some sort of a crime. You know what? The guy worked hard, saved up his money, bought himself a boat. What's it to you, lady? I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Art Alley from the Timothy Plan. Art, hope you're doing good today.
Hey, man, I am doing great. And I was saying, amen to your last comment.
You know, Art, it cranks me up because I see where all of this is going. And with Kamala Harris, if she wins election, there is going to be a war on wealth in America. And I'm not talking about the super wealthy. I'm talking about anybody who has been a responsible steward of their money. They're going to be coming after all of us.
Well, actually, they're thinking it's their money, it's crazy. Where has common sense gone? If that election goes that direction, I think they will have accomplished their purpose. We'll never get this country back. So, folks, get out there, vote, and vote right, and vote with some common sense. This is the time we need to step up. If we don't, we can kiss America goodbye. I hate to say that, but, I mean, we're at that point. They think they own it all, and they don't. They don't own you. They don't own me. We work hard. We earn what we get. That's a foreign concept to these socialist, communist minds that are running the country.
Art, I want to ask you about what happened yesterday. Federal Reserve cutting the interest rate by a half point. What is that going to mean to the average American?
Nothing. The markets really reacted with a big yawn to that half point. It probably would have gone down more if it was a quarter point. But, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, Todd, going on almost 50 years, not quite. I have never seen the Fed ever do the right thing at the right time. It's a political process. The half a point was meant to be a political gift, I guess, to us. Am I glad to see rates coming up? Yes, I'm glad to see rates coming down. I wish they just quit meddling with it all. But it really did not have an impact on the market yesterday, up some today. But when we sit here and hang with bated breath on whatever the Fed is going to do, we got a problem in America. But the good news is people are waking up. They are seeing what's going on. And especially the real young ones, I think they're finally figuring it out in spite of all the indoctrination they get in schools, that this is not a system that works that they're trying to impose on us. And hopefully when they step up to the voting booth, they're going to vote with totally opposite of the way they've been programmed in the public school system, and vote for what's right for me. That's what's great for America. You can succeed or fail based on your own efforts. And that's why we do what we do at Timothy Plan. I mean, you know, there are companies that really are well run, that do a good job and doing what they do. And then there's these other ones that have fallen victim to the woke pressure that they're under. And thank God, Todd, they're starting to push back. They're starting to say, you know what, this is stupid. We're pursuing policies that are hurting our profits, which ultimately hurt our shareholders. And it's time we get back to the business of the business we're in and quit trying to social engineer this country into a communist, socialist system that never has, never can, never will work. It can't work. It bankrupts itself every time. And, you know, the few people at the top are the only ones that live well, and the rest of us are just a bunch of peons. I'm preaching. I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm getting tired of this stuff, and I'm tired of being lied to. And
Art,
when we get tired of being lied to, that's when we're going to start stepping up to the plate.
Art, real quick here, timothyplan.com is the website. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you to go there and understand and learn how you can begin responsibly investing your money using biblical, using the Bible as your guide path. And Art's been doing this for many, many years, many decades, and people have been so encouraged and so happy with their investments. And you can also call them, write this number down, 1-800-846-7526. That's 1-800-846-7526. Art, we've got about 45 seconds here. What is the first step for people to join Timothy Plan, and what would you recommend they do if they're looking at beginning investing?
Well, you know, Todd, everybody thinks it's so complicated, and it really isn't. And that's why I would encourage, make that phone call. we make things so easy for you so you understand that what you're doing. If you don't understand what someone's trying to get you to invest in, my advice is don't do it. Don't do it till you fully understand and you know it's right for you. We do it God's way. You know, that's no promise of total success because we're promising you do it God's way. You're going to get great returns. It's the responsible thing to do. Why would you want to invest the money he's entrusted to you into companies that are trying to destroy you and destroy our culture?
It's a
makes
great
no
point.
Sense. We make it. We make it easy.
All right. Art, we're going to have to leave it there. Again, TimothyPlant.com. Ladies and gentlemen, go to that website. Read it. Check it out later this evening if you have time, or give them a call right now, 1-800-846-7526. That's 800-846-7526. We'll see you tomorrow. Be good, America.